right, in 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 34 of TWiT, This Week in Technology. Now, Leo, we believe, is in Canada, although a lot of us believe he's actually hiding out in Brazil from an IRS court order. More news on that coming later. Actually, you've recently been in Canada, so you can probably give us the report. Amber MacArthur.
Yeah, I was recently in Canada, and now I've switched places with Leo, but I don't know where he is, actually. He's going to be in Canada next week. I know that, shooting Call for Help, but where he is right now is a mystery. He was on Regis and Kelly, I think, yesterday in New York.
That's where he's in New York.
So he might still be in New York. Probably a better place to be than Canada right now.
Amber is joining us from, of course, Call for Help, Command N. And actually, what's
the
new
rolling
podcast?
Tape?
Yes, we're rolling tape. We're live. We're here, John. But we had a countdown?
I didn't see a countdown.
Amber, we'll be right back. Right now, we're going to introduce the man that gets no spam, John C. Dvorak. How about that blog, John?
The blog, dvorak.org/blog. Dvorak? You know, my numbers are up pretty, again. You know, they're doing pretty well. The funny thing about this blog is just organically growing. I'll have to be up to a million people, or actually probably
a million people. Million uniques.
Right.
That's a big block.
It's a lot of people. It's another year, 1 year from now. What?
You talking per day or for the whole year?
For the whole year.
No, for a month.
Oh, okay.
Per month.
That's impressive.
About a year from now. Because it doubles every 6 months, and that's, I'm right now at a quarter million.
Let's pump that blog one more time.
Dvorak.org/blog, please.
The angriest man in podcasting, Mr. Roger Chang.
Angry for the next week, yes.
Why is this, Roger?
I am leaving my current job at GameSpot at CNET.
So if anybody needs a sophisticated technical producer that can pretty much do anything in technology in a video camera, except for porn, you've given up the porn career aspirations?
Yeah, what happened to the porn?
I don't know. It wasn't paying, so maybe I should probably be behind the camera this time.
And since he's about to cry, Robert Herron from DL.TV and PC Magazine.
Hello.
You're just frightened now.
No, just nervous. No, neither. Cucumber, baby, in a bowl of hot sauce.
Oh, boy.
And on that inauspicious beginning, I got a question. Should we start with iTunes? Should we start with let's do something a little more sophisticated for a change, because otherwise we're going to go straight to the XXX controversy that Dvorak's trying to stir up.
It's not a controversy. It is, now that you mention it. I'm not stirring it up. It's already been stirred.
Well, should we go ahead and stir this?
Sure, I think so.
What's the column about?
There's a column in this week's PC Magazine on the fact that ICANN, for whatever reason, apparently because of a group of concerned women, group called Concerned Women for America, somehow got suckered into like thinking that making a XXX domain, top level domain, would somehow encourage, you know, pornography. When in fact, it was the idea is to segment it as best we can. We haven't been able to do that for a number of reasons. The reason to segment it, if for another reason, is maybe to cut off spam somehow. But once you get, you know, these guys corralled, or if there's a corral to push them in, nothing is going to happen overnight. But at least you can start to push them that way, and they can have their own little world to themselves. I mean, it's like an adult bookstore.
Right.
You know, they put it in a zoned area. You just don't put it next to a church.
Yeah, like in New York City.
Right now, it's next to the church.
Oh, wait, New York City, they pushed them all out of Times Square into the residential neighborhood when they cleaned up Times Square.
Actually, Times Square is a lot. There's nothing like it used to be.
No, not in the least bit. But would they have, what are you snickering about? You haven't lived until somebody's tried to force heroin in your pocket on 42nd Street, Roger. It was good times. I kid you not.
Force.
Walk down 8th Street.
Yeah, they're giving it away.
No, it was because I watched a guy do it to a friend of mine. I tried to do it to a friend of mine, then I watched him do it to a bunch of other people. They came out of a subway, and the guy tried to do it to my friend.
You
friend
look
Rob.
Like a cop.
Yeah,
no
you do.
Way
look like
I
a
did.
Cop.
No. I used to look, you know,
used to
scruffy.
Have more hair.
Yeah, well, I had hair, and
then
I was
you looked
smaller.
Like an undercover cop.
No, I looked like a large skate rat. Is what I looked like. Right. Rob never looked like a cop. They tried to put a packet of heroin in Rob's pocket, and then told him he owed him money. And we scared him off because I was large enough to scare the guy off. I didn't know I was going to get stabbed because we didn't see the
You
shift.
Got stabbed.
No. Oh. He had a knife in his back pocket. He turned away and started waving it as he walked away, which was strange.
Walking away, waving.
Those are good sales tactics, though.
They're great sales tactics. You should be watching due to the next pilot kid that came out of the subway.
Well, now, about the
most of those guys
thing,
are
though.
Gone. They've actually changed that the neighborhood quite. Yeah, the XXX thing.
Wasn't their primary argument, the concerned women of America, that there was no mechanism that would allow the porn domain holders right now, the .coms, the .orgs, whatever they have, there was no mechanism to get them to move over to a .XXX. They could, in fact, keep the .coms in addition to having a triple X.
Now, but that wasn't what their argument seemed to be. If you read their press release, their argument was that they would flock to the XXX because that would be so much easier to find porn, and it would just expedite the ability of kids to go to find porn.
Porn's so difficult to find now.
That was my point, which is porn is like, all we have to do is type in porn, you know, on a Google search, and you can get all you want. I mean, so the argument was I thought it was just bad. I was going to say
it's
flaccid, but I think that maybe I...
So, I mean, what should we start an email writing campaign? I only took 6,000
emails.
Yeah,
just keep complaining. That's all I'm
Should we just start porn companies and just have a XXX domain and just kind of start the ball rolling?
It's a way to make money if you're interested
in
that.
Put a form letter to send to ICANN, to email to ICANN up on Dvorak.org. Yeah, and let's see how many people...
I'm going to let it simmer for a while before I get back on this bandwagon.
I just want Vivid or one of the big companies to buy a stadium and put their name on it. I think that'd be cool. No?
Who's Vivid?
Vivid Video. I happened to work next door to them when they were down in Los Angeles. Okay. And that was
cool. And there's a porn company you're telling us?
Oh, yeah. One of the biggest.
Yeah, I didn't know who Vivid was. Sorry. Lost me there.
No, it was...
All right, next topic.
Yeah. Oh, man. So what should we go? I don't even know where to go with this. Another online gamer has died of exhaustion just to beat a particularly old drum. 10 days of consecutive playing at an internet cafe in Korea.
Surprise, surprise.
Does this seem insane?
Doesn't it happen before?
All these Koreans.
Yes, this is the third or fourth time it's happened in the last year.
That's cool. I mean, he lasted 10 days.
Gotta go some way, you know?
I don't know how you can do it.
I couldn't. No. I'm Chinese. We're next door.
I think your legs go numb at some point, and you just can't leave. And maybe
you could have been dead for 3 days.
Speak
really,
from
you know.
Dehydration.
No, I'm pretty sure the whole autopsy they can figure that out.
Is it exhaustion? Like, wasn't the last case exhaustion?
I think one was like dehydration, another was exhaustion.
So they just stop eating and drinking?
Just play for hours and hours.
Is it
kind of
like in Serenity where they just people stopped caring and they just healed over?
Hey, you know that movie hasn't made money yet. I think it'll make money on the DVD, but it's a shame because that means we're not going to see any more of those things.
Unless we make
not
a fan film.
Universal hasn't said the door
is
shut.
Then we can just make as many as we want.
Because they, December.
Poorly shot.
Is that your new
That's
career?
That's a fan film.
All right, next topic.
Okay. No, I was going to say, it's coming out December 20th, the DVD.
Oh, is it? Mm-hmm. You know, I thought they should have sold the DVD. They should have broken new ground and sold the DVD at the theater if you'd bought a paying ticket to see the movie.
I totally
agree. I think they would have sold a ton of DVDs. It would have changed the dynamics of the movie industry right on the spot.
Yeah.
People are playing around with the idea. It's just which studio is actually going to do it first.
You know, I think you go to the movie, and if you really like the movie, you buy the DVD as you leave for, you know, $29 or whatever it is. I think they would have sold millions and millions of them.
$29 a pop?
Holy.
Actually, that's only three movie tickets.
Well, you know.
Two and a half.
Even
at
19. I mean, 19 or 29, one of those two prices. They're both price points. But $24.95 is actually, I'd do it.
Just the next move for the MPAA. Forget about online distribution. Go straight to DVD distribution in a lossy format at the movies. Think of the opportunities for piracy. I'm putting on my MPAA.
I think that people would buy these. I think they'd still want to see it because this is what, you know, there's a lot of movies. I only go to movies when I think they should be seen on a big screen.
Mm-hmm.
Like?
Well, that was one of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Star Wars, for sure.
The first one, right? Not the last three.
I've seen all the Star Wars, you know, with my kids on a big screen. And I don't go to the movies necessarily, but if I'm going to see that movie, I'm going to go see it on a big screen. You know?
I hear that. Anybody here ever going to watch episode one again, except by force?
I will.
I would watch
just
it on,
because
I
DVD. Burned it from my brain, so I want to go back and watch it.
What was it about? I forgot.
I don't recall. I really remember some weak dialogue.
There was a
there, I'm sure there were nuggets in there that I just completely, I was too stunned by everything else to
something
remember
about Samuel
properly.
L. Jackson being a Jedi.
That didn't work for you?
He gets it at the end.
All right, let's get back to high tech here.
All right. Women in Technology International. Amber, you're down at the conference today. What is Women in Technology International all about?
It is an organization that helps women network in the tech industry. So really, it's a group of women who have all decided that they want to kind of branch out and network with other women. And the conference was the 10th anniversary conference. I'm actually not a member of WIDI, which is ironic because I emceed their event. Maybe I should join.
And you're international, too.
I should probably join now. But it was a great event. There were probably about 800 women there, you know, senior level executives. Marissa Meyer from Google, who's one of the user experience leads. She was on the cover of Fast Company recently. She was the keynote speaker today. There was Jean Bardick, who is, I don't know how old she is, but she was one of the first programmers on ENIAC, one of the first computers. So they honored a lot of women who have made a lot of advancements in technology. So it was fantastic. A bunch of geeky women in a room together. And I've never experienced that before. So it was nice. It was a really, really good event. But, you know, again, just an opportunity to honor women who have, you know, done really, really well in their careers.
Does that run all weekend, or was that like a Friday thing?
It started on, I think, Wednesday evening, and it ran Wednesday evening, Thursday, and Friday during the day. So it was a bunch of sessions. I sat in a panel as well. There was a lot of talk about podcasting. They had different panels. You know, there's a lot of women who knew a lot about podcasting, and that was foreign. Mm. You know, usually I feel kind of special, and I didn't feel like that at all. Yeah.
Well, that brings us to our podcasting segue when you mention it. When you say they talked about or knew about podcasting, in what sense were they podcasters, or were they podcasting this event, or were they all subscribers to the podcast, and what sort of podcast did they subscribe to, if that's the case?
For the most part, they are podcasting the event, so they're podcasting all the sessions from the event, which is interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really cool. There were some great sessions, some great panelists.
Is there a website you can go to get the podcast if somebody out there wants to get listen
yep,
to some of the stuff?
Yeah, they'll podcast. I'm not sure when they'll be up on the website, but it's witi.com, W-I-T-I.com. And also, a lot of the women there are in the marketing field, so they tend to be interested in podcasting more from a marketing standpoint. So they're interested in, you know, getting podcasts going for their company to promote their services. But then there's some, you know, independent, you know, consulting people who want to create their own podcasts and are just interested in what's happening. So there was a lot of sort of hype around the whole podcasting world about blogging. But, you know, most of the women knew what they were talking about. And, you know, they're right in there. They understand the iTunes Music Store. And, you know, it was good to see that, because I think we don't see a lot of that.
It's always funny when you see, like, the email. It's like the president of our company has developed a blog and we'll be doing a podcast so we can directly get the word out to the people. And it's like, really?
Yeah. I felt a little indie being there, tell you the truth, because I was sitting on a panel with a bunch of marketers and they were talking about, oh, hey, buy our software to, you know, do advertising and do marketing email campaigns. And then I would say, well, you can actually get that for free if you go to this site. So I think I was kind of one of the black sheep of people at the event.
Were you getting dirty looks
event.
When you said
Everyone
stuff like
pointed
that?
You and kind of hissed.
Well, I realized, you know, I'm promoting so many free services on Call for Help and other shows. That I'm not really the best friend for some of the bigger companies, but it was good. I mean, the smaller companies appreciated it, right? Because, you know, there's some people that, you know, still a five-person company can't afford to buy software. So they were coming to me on the side and getting tips.
I was getting lectured about that recently. It's you have to quit promoting free software. People don't
who
need
told
free
you this?
Software. Somebody ran into it.
Come on,
it.
Tell us who.
I can't tell
Name
you.
Name names. Jeez,
I couldn't get a
vague.
Business. I couldn't get a business card out of them.
Oh, it's just somebody. Some
they said
anonymous they, person. Yeah. It wasn't like one of your bosses.
No, not too, yeah. Like Jim's going to come to me and say, "Stop promoting free software."
That seems
it's like,
unlikely.
Jim, why'd you hire me?
Well, I don't understand that, because it seems to me that, you know, there's a place for every kind of software. There's a place for free software. There's a place for paid software, and it's like if you can get something that's free that's better than paid, or at least as good, why would you pay for it? And what's wrong with promoting it? Maybe these people that are having to pay for software should either make their software better or find some other way of making money.
It's a pretty bizarre concept, but some people get upset about it. You know, it's like the whole Microsoft Linux battle. Mm. I mean, you know, you look at people, it's like, you know, I was reading, you know, the press release battles are going back and forth, and it's like, you know, American IT managers do not trust open source or Linux. And it's like, well, yeah, actually a lot of them do, but they're terrified.
They're terrified of it
on the flip side.
Or they can't get it past the people that sign the checks.
Yeah.
That's what happens a lot. And unless something internal happens, like I worked for a company that basically got one of the disgruntled employees left the company, ratted them out saying, oh, they've got illegal copies of Microsoft software on their computers.
Everybody
came
did.
In,
oh, yeah.
Found less than 2% of the systems that had, you know, they had moved one copy of software to another without proper licensing. The boss just said, you know what, forget this, and went ahead and switched out, dumped all the systems, kept the same hardware, older computers, upgraded everything to Linux, only the applications that people needed, and saved a bunch of money in the time. And he'll never look back at this point. Yeah. And his costs dropped dramatically. and the face of but
you don't have to be hassled by these guys. The BSA and these guys have been making people's lives miserable.
No. Is that going to change anytime soon?
No, it doesn't look like it. In fact, it's getting worse. You start reading their, you know, their press releases. They're actually upping the ante. Now they have bounties, which is the reason that, that, you know, that guy probably did that. Because you get a piece, you get a good piece of the action. You can make 10 or 20,000 for anybody out there interested in screwing your old company. You can make 10, 20, even it's a percentage deal, and it's negotiable, so you can get a lot of money out of it by turning in your, you know, your old.
I'll put that in my
There you go.
Good plan for you.
Oh, man. They run away to Tahiti. Can't catch me.
Yeah, I did a piece on that. I think it was in March.
Run into it.
Somebody said, actually, this is a good one for you, Roger. What do you do after you've quit your relatively high-ranking Google job after 5 years at the epicenter of the world's most watched technology company? If you're Doug Edwards, you blog about it. You're going to give us, like, you're going to blog about your experiences as an ex-employee?
You have a blog?
No.
Why not?
Because I honestly feel that blogging was almost kind of a form of exhibitionism, and I
well, except when
you're a guy that goes on television.
I was a guy who did go on television.
You'll probably go on television again. And you're doing a podcast here, and you're now you're – I'm just pointing out the discrepancy in your thinking.
My hypocrisy?
Well, I wouldn't use that word.
That's cool. At least you're not like my dad.
I don't know. It's interesting. Like
and that's interesting. You know, a lot of people talk about it. I mean, it depends on the experience. It was good. Or bad, you know, either extreme, I guess people would blog it. For me, it's kind of in the middle. It's like, eh.
Because, you know, I'm not a big fan of the blogging, your personal, you know.
Yeah, experience.
Today, I had a lunch.
I had a cheese sandwich.
Life journal.
I think it could really punch up the numbers at Dvorak.org.
Not really. With my life, I'm a pretty boring guy.
I mean.
Seriously.
You know, I mean, you would really only blog the really exciting moments in my life.
Well, you can make stuff up. Yeah, I took a jet. I was taking a jet fighter out last night. You know, I'm still qualified for F-14. You know,
I like how you get the John Wayne sort of ring at the end.
And you just take, you know, just make up a bunch of stuff and put it in the. I guess you could do that. That'd be kind of interesting.
So you're going for the whole rabid sort of Idaho crowd to follow you on that?
Could do that. Yeah, I could go for that.
Idaho, Montana.
Yeah. Dvorak's personal army of angry survivalists.
Dvorak Shack out there.
Ooh, I still have to contact that guy who owns my name as a domain. He said I could have it for free. I just need to go talk to him. I just don't want to contact
him. Someone has mine. He's like, Robert, where are you? So I can't take
come pick up your domain.
And he's Canadian.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
No worries.
I feel like I'm responsible for all Canadian action in this room.
It's like we should get some sort of, you know, gathering or some sort of Roger Chang, you know.
Convention.
Yeah. Because he noted there were a lot of other Changs.
Like a Lebowski.
There's
fest.
A few Changs in the world.
There's a lot. Look in the phone book.
Huh.
I actually had
at
someone.
Least in the US anyway.
I had someone recently because my website's ambermac.com and someone bought me the, of course I just said that in front of all you guys.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
It's not us, it's the camera.
I know. I'm worried now. It's just a series of things I've said this week that are inappropriate.
But funny.
And they can be cut and pasted.
It's perfect. Someone bought me the URL amberwin.com in case I wanted to write more about Windows.
Was it Microsoft who bought you this?
I don't know. Some random person emailed me and said I should start using
promoting free software, right?
I know. It's like, well, Amber Mac, it's kind of my name.
So the segue we missed is that the podcast word has become the...
I didn't miss it. I just let it cruise right on by because there was so much animated
interesting
discussion
stuff
going.
About nothing.
The new Oxford American... Oh, yeah. Don't even go there. That's cruel.
Go.
All right. The new Oxford American Dictionary. A year ago, they wouldn't let podcast in there because they didn't feel it was being well used enough. And podcasting is the word of the year now for 2005.
Wow,
that means it's doomed. Don't you think? I mean,
it's a terrible word.
It came up too quick, don't you think, for it to become the word of the year? I mean, 2 years ago, podcasting didn't even exist.
I don't know. I mean, you're basically saying it's flaring out. This is all over with.
Well, I mean, it just seems to me. No, I don't.
Homebrew media is done.
You know, I don't.
That web thing, trend. It
web is
slammed
over.
To the floor.
No, actually, I don't think so. I think it's a legitimate thing. But when you get these kind of bursts like that, it causes all kinds. I think it will create a disruption of some sort.
A backlash?
Well, not necessary, but there'll be like it'll be either like co-opted by big media or it'll, you know, I mean, next thing.
Have you seen the top 20 on iTunes lately?
All big media?
It's getting there. Well, it's a lot of NPR and then some big media.
NPR rocks, man.
NPR, you know what? If you're in a car, you can turn it on the radio and actually listen to it.
But you can hear it all the time, anytime.
But how cutting edge?
But you need the morning edition.
It's not cutting edge at all. That's the point. In fact, that's what I think, the morning edition. So these podcasts are narrowcasting in the purest sense of the word, and I think some people will appreciate them eventually.
What word's lost out?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they always have a 50 or 60 word new
word. The Oxford Dictionary picks podcasting as the word of the year.
Yeah, but only in the United States, apparently. They it's not an
just
international
picture, like some of my English teachers kind of rolling pathetic, their right? eyes for some reason.
Well, why is that kind of pathetic?
I don't know. It just seems like a really trendy word. I don't know how long the word podcast has been.
I remember when Elvis year
was like a big word.
We're stuck with it. I like logging. I don't think we can get rid of that word.
I know. I just don't like. I don't like it because I think we might be stuck with it, but I don't think it accurately defines what we're trying to do, and people get confused by it. That's why it's not necessarily a good word.
I have an iPod. Can I listen?
I don't mind blog. I mind the word blogosphere, though, for some reason.
Blogosphere.
Blogosphere. Okay.
Anything sphere is not good.
Because it sounds pompous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Minimally.
Yeah.
Yeah,
blogosphere. It's like a totally different universe.
Yeah, well, it is kind of if you read some of these
it's
blogs.
A very isolated. It's kind of like walking from lunch table to lunch table in a junior high school cafeteria.
And they get the
really, it's like MySpace is that way, too, and they get really self-referential.
Well, so is LiveJournal. It's very, just like its own world.
Oh, man. So the losing words, actually, it turns out one was life hack. And the other was rootkit.
Root.
Those are the words that Diddy made.
Life hack.
Life hack.
This must have been the obscure technical month
they
of November
really
and December.
When they were picking words.
Well, no life hack's a pretty good website, right? But it's good to look at.
Rootkit. I mean, that's like a really new term.
It sounds like
rootkit's been around for like at least a year.
Well,
or
I mean,
two.
In terms of being
it just
popular
sounds like
in the public,
orthodontist would have. For a quick root canal.
So basically, so what we're saying is the Oxford New English Dictionary looked at the most popular new words they found in news headlines in November and made those the words of the year.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
That's as far back as they could go.
Maybe even 1 week in November.
Oh, man. iTunes gets more TV. NBC signed on with a ton of television shows, actually including...
Knight Rider, baby.
Knight Rider.
So excited.
You're kidding.
I didn't know.
Is that like a show that you used to watch?
I did.
Knight Rider with the little...
Well, he was like 11.
And I've learned new things about it since then.
Off the show?
Yeah.
Learned new things about it.
I did not know Michael Knight had a chip implanted in his head that allowed him to communicate with the car.
When?
That's what it said on the iTunes site.
You know, I just watched that show. He had a little Armatron calculator watch that they made up that talked to the car, which is really driven by a stunt guy buried in the car seat. You know, come on.
Now, who's going to watch this crap on a little bitty video iPod anyway?
Well, it's true. I mean, they've also got Law and Order.
And who's going to spend money for it?
Conan O'Brien, Jay Leno. They've sold three. No, actually,
you know what?
Apple says they've hit 3 million video downloads so far.
Thanks.
It's a gimmick. The only reason they've got so many is because people are getting kind of an early kick
but
out of it.
It scales well on an NTSC screen. You can do an output. It's portable. People are cramming DVDs.
Have you ever taken public transit?
I don't think it'll be much longer.
God, no.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where it's going.
I mean, seriously, when you're in the subway, you got one hand's on the rail and the other one's holding your iPod.
Actually, when I was in New York the last time I made this comment, in fact, they actually took it out of the – they questioned my using this observation I had, which is that – thing I thought was interesting in the subway in Manhattan is that all the white people use iPods and all the black folks either you use a regular MP3 or something that's more reasonably priced.
What about they're not so between?
They're not so totally into like the yuppie aspect of an iPod. In fact, I saw no black people with an iPod, and it's almost like they reject the whole idea.
I see more people with disc players still.
Well, a lot, yeah,
because of how easy
about?
It is to burn
50
a CD
Cent
now.
Has a U2 special edition iPod. That's not white. It's black. It's a little red
50
dial.
50 Cent. Okay, great. He was bought out. He sold out, that guy. Whatever the case is, I just thought it was a weird thing to notice, and it was like,
from a white guy.
From a white guy. But the subway's filled with people with these things, and they're all plugged in, and they're all listening, and nobody's looking at each other. I mean, which is
life
the subway's
is
never done much.
People don't look at each other in the New York subway.
Yeah.
Hey, no, but
actually, although,
like,
there was one, when I was on the New York subway last time, it was pretty funny because there's... I got to tell this story. There's this one guy.
So and write down the time code on this.
I was basically, he kept going on how women were secret government agents bent on destroying.
The guy on the subway was saying this? And he was talking to you?
No, he was talking to everyone. He was like announcing it.
Oh,
like,
one of these...
But he did it in a really nice announcer voice, like, you know, the beginning of a movie. And he kept repeating and repeating and repeating. And then he threw in something about, you know, NASA closed at 9, so they had until 3 o'clock in which they could use to usurp, you know, man's role in the universe. It was pretty funny.
Women are secret agents? That's what you're saying?
Secret government agents bent on destroying man.
That's why I wear those short E4 suits.
Well, fascinating.
Well, this explains why everybody's on an iPod.
Probably.
Were you scared?
No, it was fine. I was going to bust up laughing, but then I probably looked too conspicuous.
You know,
not being either black or white, I don't know where I stand, so I best keep
There's a fair number of...
I know.
Okay.
Yeah,
or a woman.
There's a lot of Chinese in New York City.
One or two.
Yeah, I've seen them.
They kept building the railroad and just moved on east.
But anyway, there's more people now on the public transportation in New York where, you know, just completely zoned out. And they're walking down the street the same way, completely oblivious to everything. And I think, I don't know, it seems weird to
but
me.
But didn't that the whole people, thing, kind of the Walkman thing kind of do that too? People just started kind of like just
block
shut
everything
out.
Out.
Yeah, they just started putting it on their
Yeah,
heads
I remember. I mean, I spent a bunch of years commuting in New York City on PATH trains and subway trains, and tape decks were...
Yeah, I guess so.
The boom box.
So nothing's changed.
The ghetto blaster.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to a 163rd
Well, this
street,
is definitely better than the ghetto blaster. Those things were annoying.
No, the giant spliff in the closed, unventilated railway car with the ghetto blaster, that was annoying. The ghetto blaster is kind of a trifle compared to that. Right. I guess you, like, get the contact high.
What's a spliff?
I don't know either.
Joint. Sorry.
All right. Next.
I'm kidding.
Marijuana.
Where are you?
Large marijuana. Kind of,
I never noticed that.
All right. You're the one who's never been on public transportation.
As New York subways, I take them all the time.
Somebody handed me a Mickey's Wide
But I've never seen a bunch of guys smoking dope
day.
On it.
Yeah. I think that the iTunes Music Store having videos really allows sort of people who are not used to downloading video or having getting video online,
you know,
really makes it accessible for them because they're used to the iPod. It makes it easy. They plug it in. But they get the videos on it.
I know actually around 4 or 5 people actually don't have iPods, but they actually still download the videos and they watch them.
Yeah.
On their
and you know, PCs. The video output to a regular tube TV doesn't look that bad.
I've done it before. Yeah. It's really
on an HDTV, it looks like crap, but otherwise, bad. And I don't see it being much longer until they take that whole shape of the iPod and make the whole face of it or the whole back of it an entire display.
Yeah, it makes sense
like
to just flip it.
Like a portable Sony PlayStation?
Yeah.
Could be.
Yes.
Well, only with controls that are usable.
Now, if the Sony PlayStation, portable PlayStation guys had their act together, they would have opened that thing up so anyone could just do anything they wanted with it.
Yeah.
Instead
right.
of waiting for other people to do it for you.
It's just bad.
Or forcing you to revert firmware and jump through hoops to do anything.
I did that 2 weekends ago. It's pretty fun.
All right. Onward.
All right. Next.
Anybody care about Google Transit Trip Planner?
No.
Anybody seen the new Microsoft Live?
Yeah. Awesome.
What is it?
Awesome. It's essentially the same as Google Maps and the Trip Planner as well, but it includes a sky view. They call it the bird's eye view now, and I believe they've taken certain cities, probably the major metropolitan cities, and re-rendered the visual information from the satellite imagery, and you can look at it from 4 directions, all the polar coordinates, and it looks like beautiful 3D rendered buildings and like you are a bird flying around that part of town when you look down at the map, and you can click that off as well and look at traditional street information as well. Slick has most of the same features. Actually has some more features.
How do you get to it?
Live dot...
Oh,
live dot something. What the heck was it?
Live dot MSN, live dot Microsoft.com or something like that.
I was tripped up on this.
You know, it's kind of funny because there's a lot of tangents to that because there's a few countries that are a little more than just upset with Google Maps because they're considered a security breach. Like South Korea because there's...
Local.live.com.
There's a local.live.com Air Force bases, and they consider that a security breach, and they want Google to take it down or at least blur it over.
Go to Area 54, that's one. The one, right? Mm-hmm. 51?
Yeah.
You can look at it on the map, it's just a big blank area. It's pretty funny.
So live.local.com, that's part of Windows Live?
Local.live.com.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Basically, it's the replacement for Virtual Earth.
Okay, but it's part of the new live service that they have online, which is like the home page for... Mm-hmm. You can have your RSS feeds and everything.
It's already tied into like Streets and Trips 2006. Oh, and
Streets and Trips is great.
I bought
that
last
night.
Did you do the RSS feed for the Dvorak blog? Does it work on this?
No, we can do it right now.
Yeah, it's
live.com.
Yeah, this is kind of like Google Live. Windows Live is kind of like Google IG or something. Mm-hmm. Proto Page. I don't know if you guys have used that. Personalized home pages. pretty good.
It's all about the Ajax.
Yeah, Protopage is fantastic. They just came out with version 2, which is really, really cool. And you can add
Protopage.com.
Yeah, it's Protopage.com.
And what is it? What's special about it?
Really, it's all done in Ajax, and it's cool. Really a personalized homepage. So you can go there and you can subscribe to feeds. They've added a ton of new listings in their directory, so there's lots of different feeds. You can skin it as well, so you can make it. Add whatever you want to it. And really just drag and drop things around and move it around. So it's just more customizable than some, like Google IG is good, but it's not as slick as Protopage.
I'm also getting tired of the white background. Like late at night, I want to tone that down to like a darker color. And there's just no Google page has that white background. And sometimes my eyes get tired and I just want to tone it down a little
bit. Protopage is really cool. You can use patterns and you can change it all around and you can have, a background that's all trees or do lots
of things.
There's
a giant hedge on the background of the page I just pulled up.
Yeah.
Are they all using fundamentally, are they starting with the same code for the Ajax to pull in the RSS feeds and stuff?
I'm not sure exactly how they're doing, but I'm trying to get in touch with one of the guys at Protopage to interview him about this. So, and I think they're somewhere in the UK, so I'm going to end up talking to him
Good
at
luck.
Some point for, yeah, we'll hope to get him on Inside the Net and do a little interview with him, so that should be good.
Very cool. So the first Inside the Net last week, you got to talk, was it to the Flock developers?
The first one we did, we talked about Firefox 1.5 with two guys from Mozilla. They're both named Mike. Mike and Mike. And
actually, everybody there is named Mike. Did you notice that?
I think so. Mike, you have to be Mike to work there, so I guess I'm out of luck. The second one, we talked about Flock with Chris Mazzina.
What was it again?
Flock. The second interview, we talked about Flock, which is...
What?
Flock? Flock? Are you trying to get me to swear? Because I already said something inappropriate.
No, I'm just wondering what you said.
Okay.
What's it say? How do you spell it?
F-L-O-C-K.
Oh.
Like
Flock.
Flock. Flock.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did the second interview about Flock. And I don't know if you guys have had a chance to use that at all.
I've played around with it some. There's moments where it's really cool and there's moments where it's really awkward.
It's quite buggy, really. it's buggy,
really,
but they
honest.
Admit that it's buggy because they're developing it kind of as they go on. And so they're waiting for a lot of feedback from the community to help them, add features and functionality. But
and what does it do? Is that another one of these pages?
No, this is a web browser that is similar to Firefox in some way, but it has more integrated tools. You can blog directly from Flock to any of
sort
your
of
blogs.
Communal browsing.
Yeah,
social
browsing. Mm. You can access Flickr photos, and it's different in that the top of the screen of the browser kind of drops down, and all of a sudden your blogging tool appears. So you don't actually leave the browser to do things like blogging. You can do it all within the browser itself.
With this sort of thing, what does anybody think about the Delissi us guys being sold to
Delicious.
Yahoo.
Oh, I know.
Yahoo's buying a lot of people, it seems.
They're just throwing a lot of money at stuff. They bought, they was it Yahoo or Google and ended up with Flickr?
Well,
it was Yahoo.
That was the joke at Web 2.0 that the entire Web 2.0 business model right now is to just get enough attention so that Yahoo will buy you or Google or Microsoft.
Buying communities, really.
Yeah.
Communities of users who bought Skype.
And tools, and functional tools that work better than what's in place
already. Skype was a weirder one because, it was pointless, it seems to me, for eBay to buy Skype unless they just wanted it for the customer base. I never don't get that one.
I'm pretty surprised that the number of people I work with who use voice over IP telephone service is the primary number for communication, personal communication.
And Skype, too, just came out with video as well.
Either Vonage or Skype or one of those services. But
eBay users.
Yeah, well, the other weird eBay thing was the although there's it makes
face
a little
to
more
face transaction.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what video is used for. It was their buying of Craigslist, and
missed that
their
one.
Investigation. They
you
invested
missed that one.
They didn't buy Craigslist outright, did they?
No. They took a huge piece of it. Basically, well, no, somebody
like
owned it. I think it's about half, isn't it? Just a little less than half.
It's lower than that.
Well, check it out. But anyway, some guy had a piece of it, and he sold it to them. Yeah. And there's some pretty raunchy stuff on there, and eBay has these policies, and I'm wondering how they're going to adjust on this. Because if you go to the personals and
the funnest reading you can find.
Yeah, I know, but there's photos in there.
Women seeking women.
Well, there's advertising for. I can't even say it because this is Leo's microphone and he'll be offended. There's professional services.
He'll have to wash the microphone when you're done.
Person-to-person professional services. Yeah, there's a lot of raunchy stuff on Craigslist.
Yeah.
It's always been policed by the user group. Always. Because you basically say, this is offensive, get rid of it.
Right, but there's a lot of stuff on there. You can go there anytime and find some raunchy stuff.
I know, it'd be interesting.
Thank goodness. People are way too uptight.
No, I mean, no, most people do it, go through Craigslist for entertainment. I mean, there's a lot of entertaining stuff on there. Some of these posts are like, what are some what of is this person is completely
especially
insane.
Especially when the threads go deep. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, you get some really weird stuff.
Because it just goes back and forth.
My favorite,
it's
though,
like
of all time was the a guy here in the city who had a motorcycle and the crackheads kept breaking his spark plugs off to make pipes with. And he wrote like an open letter to the crackheads. And it was the funniest piece of prose I've ever seen. anyway.
You stuff break like off that. The spark plugs to make crack pipes?
Because it's got the... it's ceramic with the hollow tube in the middle. And he was just he ended up taping broken spark plugs on the top of his tank, yet they still kept breaking them off. Great story. I'm sure it's still there. Google away.
No, the problem is unless he posted it up on a website. That's the one downside. No,
actually, if you went to Google spark plug crack pipe, there's probably somebody there that actually shows you how to do it. I'm just guessing, but I mean, it just would seem unlikely that it wouldn't exist.
Okay, Google spark plug crack pipe. I gotta see.
Wow, this is turning out to be a family-friendly show.
Yeah,
I think it's the title, Hey Crackhead.
We need
a lot of exhaust gas temperature gauges, converting gas engines to alcohol, Ducati.net, general performance modifications.
All right, let's go to the next topic.
I think we're running out of topics at this point. Intel says AMD may be gaining.
Wow.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
That's a stunner that they would pick up on that.
This is another Mercury News story. Intel acknowledged for the first time Thursday that rival AMD may be gaining market share. And the two companies are locked in, and I quote, hand-to-hand combat, unquote.
Wow.
We're all left speechless.
Well, AMD is making the better product right now. I don't think there's any question about it. And so obviously they're going to sneak up on people. But Intel still got the muscle. So
80% of the market share of the PC microprocessor market. And soon to have 100% or close to 100% of the Mac market. Be interesting to see how fast
it'll be interesting how long that lasts because, you know, at some point, you know, Jobs is going to have to start looking at those multi-core chips for his high-end machines.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that deal is going to – I mean, I'm sure Intel will keep their – high percentage, but at some point I think Apple's going to have to consider these, you know, putting two or three of those quad core jobs in a machine just so they can just blow the doors off. That's it I'm looking for.
Blow the walls off.
Just blow type the in doors hey crackhead off. Into Google. It's first link.
Did you find
it? I'm feeling lucky.
Hey crackhead.
Just type in hey crackhead and I'm feeling lucky.
Well, there you go.
what was it you typed in?
Hey, crackhead, why don't you own a crack pipe?
Google and click on that, I'm feeling lucky.
That kept me amused for a good 20 minutes.
It's actually a really funny story. It's a priceless vignette of San Francisco living.
Yes.
So it's the Craigslist posting that comes out?
It's sad, yeah.
And if you've never checked out bash.org, the internet quote database, they've got the top 200. That's another good couple hours of good coffee humor.
Bash.org?
Yeah, bash.org.
Yeah. All
right. Well, we got a lot of tips for the viewers or their listeners today.
Yeah, there's a lot of time wasters online.
A lot of life lessons to be learned.
Yeah. Important life lessons.
So that's it for the news?
Oh, should we run away from the news?
Oh, my God.
Unless you want to talk about XFID encoding, which is the bane of my existence right now.
Why?
Because it doesn't work well on G5s, we discovered, and a lot of the tools are somewhat less than user-friendly on the PC side. Although Virtual Dub's pretty good. That's what I'm
virtual
playing
dub's
right now.
Virtual Dub's great. You
yes,
kidding?
It is.
It's the
They're
best thing ever.
They're teaching classes with that app now.
Huh?
They're teaching classes with
that Virtual
app.
Dub?
Yeah, it's great. It's this...
nonlinear editor, isn't it?
It can be used, but really what Video Dub is designed for is to do a lot of converting for you, that, you know, format, frame size... Mm-hmm. And it saves my keister because we get oftentimes when I have to convert from QuickTime in an AVI, it never redoes the aspect ratio the correct way.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a 4x3 and the video squashed from a 16x9 QuickTime movie. So I run it through Video Dub and I'll actually re-pull it up.
Virtual Dub or Video Dub? Or
Virtual Dub. Virtual Dub.
Okay.
What about the syncs with the mouth and the voice with some of these things? I mean,
I've never had a problem with that.
I see that
I'm
on
surprised.
HDTV it's, broadcasts a yeah. lot, and I'm trying to track
that's
it
your,
down.
It's not the, you know what it is? It's your box.
Is it the TV itself? Is it
box.
The set-top box?
Yeah.
Or is it the broadcaster?
No, it's the set-top box. Because I've reset it a couple times and watch it and it snaps back.
Okay.
Sometimes you can with a...
So I got to reboot my TV now?
A lot of... Well, if you have... Like, I noticed this with my... I use a 922 HD TV recorder with a Dish Network. And sometimes the thing will go out of sync. And if you back it up, and then restart it, it snaps back.
I believe what I was
And the other thing that's weird about some of these things, sometimes they the buffer runs out and the thing just starts to fall apart. It's a lot of weird.
I've seen that.
Oh, nice.
Like a really cheap TV.
You know, well.
So we're moving away from a black and white TV that even if you got partial reception, you could see Ted Koppel's head into something that's going to turn into a giant pixelated square.
It could.
And but Pickford awesome. Save us all.
But analog again, television's yeah, going no, there's away a, anyway.
The HD TV still has issues like that. Although I haven't seen that recently too much of the.
I believe this was the tuner within the TV itself I was using as well. I do have a separate standalone tuner, but I was just like, it was beyond annoying. It's unwatchable.
Very annoying. It's very, yeah. Yeah, it is when the voice doesn't match the mouth.
So you own an HD TV?
Yeah.
Amber?
I don't ever watch TV, really. Yeah.
She's only on TV.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, it's a little odd.
No, you're not the only one like that.
I watch TV because, I just want to see how people produce stuff. But I have no idea. I will get one.
So you're saying it's homework?
Hmm?
You watch television as homework for your day
Yes,
job.
Homework. South Park, Simpsons, Family Guy, all the good stuff.
That's probably impacted your production value severely.
Yeah.
It might have something to do with the job loss.
So you got HDTV.
I have an HD monitor as a PC display, but I don't own a TV yet. I'm still looking. I'm in that weird zone.
Well, you got to get the new, you know, they got this thing. There's this thing now called full HD.
Oh, man. 1080p, baby.
Well, 1080p, but it also has the right 19, whatever it is.
Full HD, full BS. Almost sounds like
1920 by 1080 pixels.
Yeah, 1920 by
progressive
1080.
Scan.
Right.
At 60 hertz, ideally, but then it isn't going to happen anytime soon. Without driving with a PC.
No,
maybe,
but
with MPEG-4.
You know what another announcement that came out this week?
And, I'm just angry.
We're going to harp on it on Tuesday on DL.TV because, like, there's a consortium of FM radio programmers. I figured it would just be hardware people that are trying to pull. They want FM radio replaced with digital FM with the HD radio.
20 years ago, I was listening to digital AM in Chicago.
Well,
so.
Just you look at it. It's like
here
that
we
one.
Are.
Remember the other one that was a big bust was stereo AM.
It's still floating around.
Yeah, I know.
Everyone's
what lights up on the thing.
Yeah, it's like whoa, it's AM it's stereo
and it sounds terrible.
Well, but it's like Clear Channel, a bunch of other companies that have invested all this money in HD broadcasting equipment, and nobody's buying HD tuners because for a while. It was like a $400 add-on on a $600 Kenwood head unit if you wanted it in your car. Sounds great if you can get it to run. It doesn't drop out, which will be fun in San Francisco with the hills.
It doesn't work in these areas with lots of buildings.
Oh, but they can give you more channels per bandwidth.
That's the idea.
And they can also crush micro radio.
You know, the thing is, you're always talking about more channels, but it's like there's a lot of missing channels. I mean, it's not like the thing is full with channel.
But all the current FM, most of the major FM radio companies basically quashed the efforts for community radio by saying there was crosstalk and bleed over in between because everybody could demonstrate that they have no problem in the field making stuff work without having crosstalk, but they always seem to demonstrate in the lab for the FCC why they can't split the existing channel base.
You know, I never get that. I mean, FM in particular locks onto a channel and pretty much keeps the crosstalk down to zero, even when there's a channel by next to a channel.
Except when it's like an FM transmitter for an iPod.
Oh, or an MP3.
Yeah. Those are the horrible. Weird part of San Francisco, though. I mean, I used to live out in the Sunset area, and there are zones out there where signals just do the weirdest.
The radio goes to die.
Yeah. there's like a four square block area where every channel becomes KFOG or whatever that channel, whatever that frequency is.
You know that happened one time, channel. And I swear to God, I thought it was this car stereo busted, and I kept flipping through all the channels. Like, why is it the same one over and over?
Yeah. And it's weird because all the frequencies are still there, but it's all one channel.
Exactly.
It's like one angry guy with a KFOG transmitter in his basement.
Probably like the employee or something.
Are these linear amps during the CB's fad. They would have these guys. You'd always be dangerous because if you saw one, they'd always have these huge antennas off their pickup truck. And if the guy ever keyed the thing up, it just basically blow your radio right out of your car.
I had a neighbor who had a truck like that with, I kid you not, like 15 antennas.
What was that movie? With
Problems.
Convoy.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Where they drive around.
Yeah,
Convoy.
No. It was like pirate radio, but crap.
Pump up the volume?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm embarrassed. I know. Christian Slater.
Like that great movie, though.
That's a classic. Let's move on.
Sorry. Enough of my misspent youth. I like CB radio.
I'm just trying to get
supposedly at certain times of the year.
I still have. I have a CB radio receiver still, a decent one. And I every once in a while I turn it on, just to see what's what. And there's always some bonehead out there who thinks he's like, Rush Limbaugh, and he's got a linear amp, so he's cranking that. You can't talk back to him because you can't get your signal that far.
The best stuff about guys like that, they're really easy to triangulate. You can go to their house.
You could, but who's...
Hi.
Well, they sound like they're clinically insane, so I'm not sure you'd want to go to their house. But they get on to one of the channels, and they just basically go on and on, and it's like, what is this guy? He's completely nuts, and he's going on. It's kind of a Art Bell kind of a show that he's putting
on. Sermon? Wow.
Broadcasting.
It's the best thing when you're like driving across central Nevada where it's like you and 10,000 miles of nothing, it seems like, in every direction, you get one of those guys.
Well, usually that's when you listen to Art Bell or the show.
Satellite radio, baby.
Satellite. We just got that in Canada recently. The past week, it just launched
which
in Canada.
Brand both XM and Sirius? Yeah. Or just XM?
Both XM and Sirius, nice. But they've banned Howard Stern.
Oh, they did?
They banned
what? Which really defeats the purpose of having satellite radio. We have really strict laws in Canada about content. So we have an organization called the CRTC, which really regulates content in Canada. So they won't allow Howard Stern to be aired in Canada.
Sure.
Is that because he's not... Three quarters Canadian
is illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, because
there's a Canadian content.
There's Canadian content rules. That's part of it, but also some of the things he says are obviously
because
obscene, and they don't really like
obscene.
That. Well, so, he said negative things about the French Canadians, and that's really a touchy issue in Canada.
Great. That was a great day of radio.
he's made disparaging remarks against many ethnic but, and
I think it's
groups.
Ridiculous personally, but
well, Amy, that's a kind of a. Is it going to be?
I think
that
what
was scary.
That?
What was that?
I think it was. I think
that's Howard Stern.
Yeah, it's all. Well,
what was the? I mean, are they doing? Because given the Canadian broadcasting laws, are they doing completely like separate or completely new? Are they basically rebranding the DJs? Are they slotting in new DJs? I mean, basically, are they doing all new content on all the radio
channels?
No,
it's not going to be all new content, but a percentage of it will be new content. So you can expect a lot of hockey programming and other types of programming.
Curling.
But they are going to have to do an X amount of new content to adhere to Canadian content rules. So I don't know if it's 40% or something like that. But XM has a huge headquarters in Toronto as well as Sirius. So, and Sirius is, I think, affiliated with
so it's
CBC
gonna be,
and...
Did they put up another satellite?
I'm not sure if they put up another satellite. I don't know all the details about that.
I think they get,
they're spot transmitters to a degree.
Yeah.
But what prevents you from typing in a different zip code and saying you live somewhere else?
That's what people do. I know a lot of people in Mexico who
that's
get
what
it.
I
those
did.
Are called the gray marketers, I've learned.
I was down at the tip of Baja, and I was still getting Sirius at least down there.
I mean, Sirius and XM will work all the way down to the end of the Baja Peninsula, except for like Sirius is like a little 2 mile. Dead space somewhere.
Well, Canada's very rural, so they're hoping that a lot of people will buy, the receivers, and then they will be really excited about it because they can get, better quality radio.
I think hopefully all these things will drop dead in the long term. I think podcasting is the only way that people should be getting their content.
It's very difficult to receive a podcast currently while you're in a moving vehicle.
Or on dial-up. That's
yes.
A problem.
You can just, I think maybe perhaps on DVDs or some. You're driving down the middle of nowhere, Canada, out there in the middle of Saskatchewan, and you pull over at a gas station. They have
I'd
podcast vending machine. Come on. You go in there, you put a buck in, you get a nice little DVD.
Plug your iPod or your
MP3. That's when you need the iPod at that point. You gotta load it up.
Yeah, USB 2, it could, boom, you get like...
Every truck stop has Wi-Fi now. I love that.
Yes.
It's great.
Do you use a modem? I do not remember the last time I used a dial-up modem.
I do. It hurt.
I refuse. Years it's ago. Like, hey, I've got a day off. I'm not touching the internet today. And it's like,
yeah, it's been a long time.
If you have a dial-up, you don't. Okay, so I
don't use dial-up. I mean,
like, how do you do your job over dial-up?
I don't use dial-up. Let's not start spreading that rumor, okay?
John DeVore gets no spam. Internet. Amber MacArthur uses dial-up.
No. Actually, at my cottage in Prince Edward Island, we have dial-up. I must admit. Yeah.
I want to.
I mean, I'll drive around and look for an open access point before I
dial-up's off.
I mean, you're going to go drive around to poach?
Oh. Okay.
Is that what you're going to do? Really?
Yeah, maybe not.
Are you admitting to that?
There was another poaching.
Sir, are you admitting to poaching your Wi-Fi signal?
Oh, yeah. I leave mine wide open. If it's open and unsecure, and I don't feel like... it's kind of like, I don't know. I guess I'm not actually asking
here. It's like kind of like a congressional hearing I could be,
Do you want the
catch
scary
me.
Mic? You could be the distinguished leader of it. Because you do that well. The pointing and the look.
If you're really concerned, you secure it.
I didn't use steroids. You can say that to me.
Oh, excellent.
I leave mine open as well, all the time.
I'm
I feel like I'm
home.
Sharing in some ways. I really do.
When I travel, sometimes I'll just open it up. Makes I'm not going to be using it. Somebody driving by that, you know, they might want to get a – everything else is turned off. They can't do anything.
I have a new goal next time you're out of town. I'm going to drive all over the Oakland Hills until I find your Wi-Fi spot.
it won't be easy to do.
I mean, you can hit the internet. That's about all you can do.
It will be easy to do.
Will be.
It will be or won't be.
See, you don't know.
Is it Dvorak.wifi? What's the?
It's a Klingon Empire 2.
And on that bright and cheerful note, I think we
ended up. FCC beacon number 3. That was a good one.
What was that?
Name your access point like FCC beacon number 3.
That'd be some pretty good names you can give these things just to kind of foul up.
I put my apartment number. It's like, come over. Say hi.
That's what you should put in there. Apartment number, come over, say hi, is the SSID.
That's a great idea. If you're male.
Yeah. Twit.tv is the website. We want to thank the San Francisco School of Digital Filmmaking for their generous offer of the space we're using, which is why there's all this space around us and light and the beautiful camera work. And the Pixel cool. Core, ladies and gentlemen, another Twit is in the can.
Nobody ever knows the episode numbers.
You know, if you go by the Chinese lunar calendar, we can just say number 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us today, the crankiest man in podcasting, Mr. Roger Chang.
We're kiltless and shockless.
What happened to GameSpot TV?
How would you like to work with a bunch of kids and 30-year-old bodies?
Just a series of things I've said this week that are inappropriate.
Oh yeah, right. I want to get Rupert Murdoch on my ass.
That's typical of the American dream. Build your success, marry a wife from Hong Kong, and get U.S. citizenship so you can run a movie.
This Week in Tech.
Dvorak, Kevin Rose, Patrick Norton, David Prager, Robert Heron. I got the Twit Army behind me. Microsoft poo-pooed it. They denied it, said no problem. Paradise.
This is amazing.
In tech.